This is the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome. The Doug Haldeman Show is dedicated to being your resource for all your real estate, finance, and credit needs. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. For the past two decades, my passion has been helping clients develop debt strategies that have led to wealth creation and smarter spending. I'm an experienced real estate investor and a licensed mortgage lender, NMLS number 298-419.
When you need a trusted resource for your mortgage or real estate need, or if you have a comment or question, just text or call Doug personally at 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG. That's D-O-U-G, which is 3684. Or you can visit our website at DougHaldeman.com. That's D-O-U-G-H-A-L-D-E-M-A-N.com.
You'll hear this trusted advice every Sunday at 4 p.m. right here on FM News Talk 97.1. Thanks for joining us. So joined by my trusted co-host today, I have Tom Turbrock in studio. Welcome, Tom.
Good afternoon. How are you two?
Doing fantastic. Good. Also have Tammy Haldeman, my beautiful wife. Welcome, Tammy.
Thanks for having me today.
So, guys, want to welcome to the studio. We have our frequent guest and our expert legal contributor. We have Stephen Schultz from Schultz & Myers Law Firm.
Nice. How you doing, guys?
Good.
Doing great, bud.
Fantastic,
good.
Man. Always great to see you on a Sunday afternoon, man.
Yep. Yes.
I guess the one thing about society is you're always busy, aren't you, Stephen?
Always. Always.
That's true.
You know, weekends, weekdays, it really doesn't matter.
That's
it all
right,
kind of meshes
man.
Together. One long work week, but I love it, so it works.
It's good.
Well, when you're good at what you do, you know, people gravitate to you with questions. Yeah. And you know, I know on Facebook people are constantly asking you. You know, one that seems to come up a lot that you know, we wanted to ask about was videotaping in public.
Sure.
How often do you get questions about that?
All the time, from friends, from clients, from just folks calling up. And it predominantly has to do with whether you can videotape authority, particularly the police department, in their duties in public. And the answer to that is unequivocally yes. Doesn't matter what state you're in.
So, yes, you can videotape a cop.
Absolutely. Performing his duties in public. So the law is, and it falls under First Amendment protected speech, believe it or not. So the Supreme Court has said that I have a right to videotape the police performing an arrest in public if I'd like to, as long as I don't interfere with that investigation.
Right.
So I have an absolute right to do that no matter what state I'm in. And I'll take it a step further. Some officers don't understand that, and what they will do is they will attempt to confiscate your phone or your camera or your film or whatever it may be, and that's illegal. They can't do that without a warrant, okay? Mm-hmm. And they definitely can't erase the footage, and that can rise to a felony. If an officer takes your camera or takes your phone and erases a picture, that can arise to a felony against the officer.
Okay, so a common thing with this was what happened in Ferguson in the McDonald's where the two reporters were videotaping.
Right.
Explain that situation. How did that arise and what happened?
It's my understanding they were just taking video and they had their press badges on. I think they're from the Huffington Post, but they were taking video footage of some officers roughing up some other folks in the McDonald's. I believe it was McDonald's. Anyway, the officers saw them taping and then confiscated the cameras and arrested the two individual reporters who were then later acquitted of any charges and released.
Okay, and where I want to be careful here as we're talking about this topic is that I'm a big supporter of law enforcement. Okay, I'm a believer, you know, I'm not in the corner of people that, you know, I'm not in the corner of the protesters. In most cases, I'm in the corner that law enforcement, you know, and I even want to be objective because there are certainly maybe some bad cops out there, but I don't think the point here is to pick on law enforcement that they're bad or anything like that.
Absolutely not. Right. I agree.
So when we talk about like videotaping a cop, you can't interfere with them. Are there any situations where you couldn't videotape them?
The only situation that I can think of is if the if what was happening that whatever you wanted to videotape was on private property. Then the owner of that property can set the boundaries on whether you can videotape anything or anybody.
Right.
Okay, so if you're on a public street or on a sidewalk or even a federal building, which is a public building, you can film police officers. Now, if you're on somebody's private property and you're filming an arrest, of course, you know, the game changes a bit.
Okay.
Does the police officer have authority on that private property that's not their property to tell you to stop filming?
They have no, they're not the owner of the property. Only the owner of the property can dictate and set the parameters of whether or not you can film on their property.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I could see, let's say you're trying to, you know, if you're doing something like you're loitering as an example and a cop's trying to get you to move on and you start videotaping the cop making you try to move on, okay, and you're breaking the law and you're not complying with their request, They may not be able to make you quit videotaping, but they could make, you know, you still have to comply with the law.
Absolutely. So the people who think they can, you know, antagonize the police and then videotape it and hope that it escalates to something
right.
where there's an arrest, you know, you're barking up the
initial,
wrong tree.
Right.
That doesn't give you the right to film it just because you think, you know, you have an absolute right to do that. If you're breaking a law, you're going to be arrested for breaking that law, period.
So we played the song Paparazzi at the beginning.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So how does that work, Stephen? If there's like, you know, for let's just say a movie star or something, and they're in their private homes. I mean, you see these candid shots all the time. What happens?
You can't film anybody in their private home. Here's the basis of all the laws on videotaping anybody. You don't have an expectation of privacy when you're in public. Nobody does.
Right.
Okay.
So if you're on the streets, in your cars, driving down the road, at a restaurant, you don't have an expectation of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And the law protects me or anybody else from filming somebody in public because they don't have an expectation of privacy. Therefore, they're not entitled to it.
Okay.
So
makes
you
sense.
Have a right. You have a right to videotape that person. Now, mm-hmm. there's a distinction there between videotape and audio tape too. So mm-hmm. there's differences there.
Okay, let's stick to video for now, and I definitely want to get into the audio because I have questions around that.
Sure.
So video, let's say your 13-year-old daughter's at your pool in your backyard and somebody's videotaping them from the neighbor's house or from the street behind you or something that can see it.
Well, that's a problem on multiple levels.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Big problem. I have one of the legal ramifications.
Private property.
Okay.
Private property, mm-hmm. yeah. You can't do that. If you're doing that, you can be sued for trespassing. If you're doing it from somebody else's property, you're still potentially trespassing. You're invading privacy. And given the age of the person you're videotaping, there's other issues potentially at play there as well.
Right.
Okay, and
that's
usually with no with a lot of trespassing rules, it has to be posted no trespassing.
Not necessarily. No, if you come to my house and I ask you to leave, you're not what's qualified as an invitee. You're a trespasser.
Okay.
And asking you to leave, you're trespassing. You know, I can call the police and you can be arrested. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So that makes sense. So at the point, rather than have a sign up that says no trespassing, at the point when you've told somebody verbally, then it's the same thing as a sign.
Absolutely. Can you imagine everybody having signs in the front yard?
Residential neighborhoods with no trespassing
right,
signs.
Right.
You see the beware of dog signs.
Yeah,
but,
you do.
Yeah, you know, those are that's as good as a no trespassing sign.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beware of gun. How about that?
Right.
All right. Let's talk about audio then.
Sure.
Okay. If when it comes to recording, what are the rules around recording? Because one of the most common ones would be over the telephone, but then there also could be hidden audio. Where you hide an audio on you, or most smartphones now can record. What are the rules?
So audio taping typically falls under wiretapping laws, which are different on a state-by-state basis.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about Missouri for a minute. If one person has consent or knowledge that the taping is being done, then it's legal. So example, a creditor calls me and harasses me, I can audio tape that conversation because I have knowledge that it's being audio taped. Now, it'd be different if I came over to your house, Doug, and I tapped your phone and you didn't know about it and you had a conversation with somebody and I was taping that would be illegal.
Okay.
So those
okay.
are the two instances.
So one party would not know about it at that point.
Correct. You just need one party consent in Missouri. Now it changes state by state. I want to make sure that's clear.
Okay. And so in Missouri it's that way. Is it the same in Illinois?
Correct. No, it's different in Illinois. So you got to be careful with that. You got to have two-party consent. Generally in a lot of states you have to have two-party consent. So I want to make sure that's clear. It's completely different from actually videotaping somebody. That's only having to do with secretly audioing somebody.
All right. So I have a couple questions. In our home, to have a video surveillance, a video camera, can I use that if someone's trespassing or I catch them doing something?
That's your
legal?
Property. Absolutely.
Okay.
That's admissible in a court of law
Absolutely.
At that point.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Good to know.
Great question.
Yes.
There was a guy in college that I knew that actually had a voice-activated recorder
yeah.
hidden in his room and caught somebody stealing something from his room because he was able to hear the voices on who did it.
Ooh.
And voice-activated recorder, and they never had any idea that was coming. But he totally set him up with that. He probably had reasonable suspicion to go ahead and plant that recorder. I had one similar to that one time, and this was actually on public property, but I was trying to sell a house, and every day my directional signs, they had signs at each turn to tell how to get to my house with the arrows pointing your house for sale. And 3 days in a row, all three of my signs were stolen. And I'm finally like, all right, I'm not going to take this. So I went and found a motion-activated – I actually used a deer hunting camera. and strapped it to a tree and motion activated. Sure enough, I not only caught somebody, but it was a trustee from the neighborhood doing it. And he was upset that apparently he thought they had passed some rule that you couldn't have these directional signs up, but it actually never made it into the bylaws because I'd read the bylaws.
Right, right.
And here I find all the signs in his trash can.
Wow.
Jackpot.
Yeah, and I didn't sue the guy or anything, but I certainly gave him an earful.
Sure.
You know, and one other element I want to mention as well, when you're in public and you're thinking about videotaping anybody, the law is also that you need to be conspicuous about it, okay? So you can't have hidden cameras. You need to generally have it out in the open so people can see and be aware of it. You know, you can't have an aha situation. I gotcha. Right. You have to have it conspicuously out in the open so people have the, you know, they can expect you to be videotaping it potentially.
All right. One last question with that I have is about pranks, because one of the favorite things on YouTube is people, you know, having all these hidden cameras and doing these pranks. Obviously, they don't know about that. I guess a lot of times it probably is in public, but it's certainly not conspicuous or it wouldn't be good for a prank. Do they have to then get permission?
It's my understanding after that prank is done, somebody signs a consent to release form.
Okay.
Yeah. That's at least the way I understand it. But I don't run those shows, but I have to believe after you've been secretly videotaped, you have to sign some kind of consent to post that publicly.
Okay. And then one last question, too, is I'm sure you get when it comes to the grand jury and the Ferguson deal, explain how the grand jury works. What's the setup of that, and who's actually in charge of making those decisions?
Sure. The quick rundown is the prosecutor runs the grand jury. It's a private proceeding.
Right.
There's 12 folks, just like you have in a jury. 9 of those people have to agree on an indictment if they want to actually move forward with an indictment. Evidence is presented only by the prosecutor. There is no other attorneys allowed in the room.
Right.
And essentially can go on as long as you need to see if there's enough evidence to bring an indictment. Now, some people ask, well, prosecutors can just file charges if they want to. And that's correct. You don't need a grand jury to file charges. However, generally speaking, prosecutors use a grand jury as a vehicle to somewhat protect themselves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because decide if they have a
there's
case.
Not as much scrutiny on the prosecutor because you have 12 people who've decided all the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
and these are jurors, like randomly selected, like any juror, right?
Correct. You know, they're paid the same, too. They're paid $18 a day like a juror is with plus mileage. So it's the same, pretty much the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's pretty major bank then.
And they, right, exactly. Profitable, right? So, you know, it's very similar to a jury, but, you know, they just, and the standard is low. The standard is, is it more likely than not, potentially, that there's, you know, probable cause to charge this person with a crime? And if there is, we'll put forward an indictment.
Right.
Well, and you know, in federal cases, don't they convict something like 96% or 97% of all the cases they try, because they don't indict unless they're really sure they're going to be able to convict
them.
They
want to be pretty sure, yeah. They want to be pretty sure. And the standard in proof is beyond a reasonable doubt in a criminal case, and that's when grand juries are used. So you have to understand that once they think there's probable cause, you still have to make a pretty big jump to beyond a reasonable doubt, which is a very high percentage of fault, of guilt.
Very, very interesting. Well, Stephen, if you have time to stick around, I have more questions, and I think, you know, there are going to be people that are going to reach out to you with questions from this information that we just talked about. And if they want to reach you, best number to reach you is 314-444-4444.
You got it.
Okay. So that's easy. All fours, 444-4444. Or visit SchultzMeyers.com. Stephen Schultz from Schultz & Myers. You guys have become the top personal injury law firm in St. Louis and really one of the top in Missouri now in a very, very short period of time. You guys have just skyrocketed because of all the extra things you do. So great stuff. I have more questions for you. When we return, we're going to talk about dram shop claims. It's a term some people may not know what it means, but when we return, you're going to find out. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. Not sure what it means, but this photo of